Amen. Amen. Go ahead and grab a seat. Grab your Bibles. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13 is our passage for today. As we think about touching that next generation, let me say something to you mothers. You're doing it right now. Some of you have already done it. You've already raised your children. You've launched them from the nest. You have touched the current generation, but your job's not over, right? You still have an opportunity, even if your children are out of the home, to continue to shape and mold them, but even more so, come alongside the mothers who are now working to shape the very next generation that's coming up. And so what an awesome song. God works through His people. Yes, He works through His Spirit, but He also works through His people, hand to hand, loving one another, encouraging one another, and touching the next generation. So as we go to 1 Corinthians 13, and think about this for just a moment, tender as a mother's love. You know, growing up in the country, man, you get to hear all sorts of funny old-fashioned sayings to describe, you know, various situations like, I'm hungry as a bear. How many of y'all ever said that? I'm hungry as a bear. She was madder than a wet hen. We say things like that. He's stubborn as a mule. I bet you wives have uttered that a few times around here. I've been running around like a chicken with its head cut off. Elijah got to see that the other day, and he doesn't like chicken anymore. Maybe you said about your son as he grows up, that boy's getting too big for his britches. We say things like that. His head's as hard as a rock. Or that's tougher than leather, or she's slower than molasses. I was happy as a hog in slop. Or how about this one? That boy's dumber than a box of rocks. I love good old-fashioned country sayings. But one of my favorite around my house growing up, and one of my dad's favorite sayings around the supper table was, it's as tender as a mother's love. You know, when you get a good piece of meat that's cooked just right and you're chewing it and it just seems to melt in your mouth, it's not really good. It's not really tender. At my house, it's as tender as a mother's love. Now, that's really, really, really tender, isn't it? Think about this for just a moment. A mother's love is soft, but a mother's love is deep. A mother's love is sweet, but also a mother's love is long-suffering. But today, the word I want us to think about, as we think about a mother's love and just love in general for every single person here, whether you're a mom or whether you're not, whether you're a grandmother or whether you're just a dude, okay? I want to think about the idea of excellent love. A mother's love is excellent. So on this Mother's Day, I want us to think about excellent love. God undoubtedly calls us to love. You see the commandments all throughout the Bible to love one another. But I believe that He doesn't want us to just love. He wants us to excel in love, right? Not just halfway, but with our whole heart. Not just to touch the moment, but to touch a generation, to touch a lifetime, to touch eternity. Guys, love is the pathway to a person's heart. And if you want to touch the next generation, as we just sing about doing, asking God to do, how's He going to do it? Through excellent love, all right? So here is the takeaway today. Here's today's takeaway. Be excellent in love as a mother and toward your mother. But let me just expand that even more to say, everybody, be excellent in love, period. And today here in 1 Corinthians 13, we're going to get an idea of what that excellent love is. All right? It's going to help us understand. What is excellent love? So let's pray together. Ask God to help us. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before You today asking that Your Holy Spirit would come and help us, that it would open eyes, that Your Holy Spirit, that He would unlock ears, that He would give us the ability to hear Your Word. That You would tear out this heart of stone, any hearts of stone that are in here, God, and give us hearts of flesh. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that You would change our minds, help us to live in a different way. Father, I thank You this morning for moms. From the bottom of my heart, I thank You for my mom. And from the bottom of my heart, I also thank You for the mom of my children, my wife. Father, thank you so much for those ladies. And I know as I pray that, it just resonates, Father, with so many other people as they thank you for their mom and the mother of their children. But Father, I also know that on Mother's Day for some of our ladies, it's an incredibly difficult day, Father, as they've struggled for years possibly with infertility. Or their child has already passed away. They passed before the mother did, and that's very, very hard. I still remember my great-grandmother saying, you never get used, no matter how old you are, to losing a child. And she lost some in her 60s and even in her 70s, Father. I pray, even in her 80s, Father, I pray, God, that you would be with those moms, that you would just, Father, bind up their heart this morning. Give them hope. Help them to see that Jesus promises far greater things. And Father, also, we want to pray for those of us here this morning. As we think about Mother's Day, our mind immediately goes to our mother who has already passed. She's no longer with us. Father, would you be with us today and to help us, Lord, to love you and to be all that you've called us to be excellent in love. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if you and I are going to be excellent in love, as a mother, as a person in general, or toward our mother, then you and I have to understand what excellent love is. And as we look at God's Word and we open up God's Word, the first thing that we notice is that excellent love here, God teaches us that excellent love is tender, as I said a moment ago, the title of the message, Tender as a Mother's Love. Notice here what Scripture says about love. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 and 5. Notice what it says. It says that love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. Do you see the tenderness that's there? All the different ways that it brings in tenderness. Someone defined the word patient, as we think about patience for a moment, as it connects with tenderness. Someone defined patience as being able to accept or tolerate delays, problems, or suffering without becoming annoyed or anxious. Can anybody say, yeah, I struggle with that, right? I do, amen. We struggle with patience. But moms, listen, 1,001 times every day, your patience gets tested. I mean, probably more than anybody else on the planet, a mom gets tested time and time again, especially moms with little children. I'm hungry, I'm sleepy, I'm hot, I'm cold, I'm wet. I don't know if your kids talk like that, but mine do. I don't want to do this. I want to do that. Mom, look at this. Mom, look at this too. Hey, Mom, watch me. Mom, get me this. Mom, I need that. Mom, take me there. Now we're getting into teenage years. Mom, I need money. Mom, buy me this. Drink spilled, food not eaten, all those things. Food on the floor. Sweep the floor 6 times a day. Man, you mama's got it tough. Dads, can I just say, your wife, and again, preachers are preaching to themselves here, your wife needs more support than you ever realize, especially if she's a stay-at-home mom. But even if not, she needs your support greatly because their patience, it's tried so many times. Perhaps it's better once they grow up a little bit and get older a little bit and they move out, but even those who have adult children, would y'all agree with me? They still test your patience? Absolutely they do. But those who are excellent in love endure in patience. And with patience comes kindness, which includes, you look here at the rest of it, not envying, not boasting, not being arrogant or rude. Kindness is having or showing a gentle nature, a desire to see others be successful. Doesn't that define a mama? A desire to see someone else be successful. You pour your whole life into those babies that they might go out and live a life that's greater than the life that you had, to have better, more, and to live a better life than you ever had. When you think about tenderness toward your children, a mother's love always sees the best in her child. I've never met a mama who thought she had an ugly baby. Never have. And that's the way it should be. Because in your eyes, you've got the most beautiful baby in the world. And that's the way it should be. Because a mama sees all the potential, all the hopes, all the dreams wrapped up in that child, and she encourages them. Go get them, baby. Go do it. You can do it. Mama loves you. Mama's behind you. They excel in tenderness. A mother's love pushes a child to do everything in her power. Her love pushes her to push her child with everything in her power that that child might succeed or excel. And so she might work extra jobs. She's going to sacrifice and do all those things, which leads us to the next thing. Not only is excellent love tender, but as we continue in 1 Corinthians 13 here, we see that excellent love is selfless. Excellent love is selfless. Look at 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5 again. We're going to finish out that verse. The Bible here says, it does not, talking about love, love does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. You see, excellent love, church, considers others as more important than ourselves. Does that sound like the Bible to anybody? That's what excellent love does. It's sacrificial. We have several mothers around here who are expecting right now. And already, that baby's not even been born yet. But basically, from the moment of conception, you have been selfless because another human being, well, they're borrowing your body for a little while. And they're doing all sorts of things. Some of you moms right now, as you're getting toward the end of labor, they're kicking and flipping and doing all those things. You're like, whoa, kid, he gonna be a soccer player. And we'd say things like that. As you do that, that is selfless. And then you think about birthing a baby. Oh, my goodness. I've been there for all five of my children's birth. And it's been amazing to see my wife birth our children. I mean, it's a spiritual experience. And I remember with Elizabeth, because we didn't have the medicine, the epidural that time. We had no anesthesia with her, all right? We were going to, but it happened too quickly. And I still remember just all of the pain and the intensity of that and the sacrifice. But in the end, when it was over, my wife didn't weep tears of pain. She wept tears of joy because God had given her, and she was willing to sacrifice for that baby. But then that baby's born, and you breastfeed or you bottle feed. You go without sleep. One of the older men at my last church, Gene Pryor, he used to say, boy, I slept like a baby last night. I was up every 2 hours crying. He loved to say that. That was always his little joke. But that's exactly right. You never knew how little sleep you could live on until you have a baby. As a teenager, you sleep all day. But when God gives you a baby, all of a sudden you realize, I don't have to sleep that much. But moms, you particularly. In fact, Friday night, Samuel, our 11-month-old, was he had sinus infection a little bit and up all night and all this stuff. And we got up the next morning and Christy said, I've got to take him to the doctor. And I'm like, doctor, why? She said, because Samuel was up all night. And I said, he was? Dads, how many times y'all been there, right? But that's what mamas do. They don't have to nudge us. They're going to take care of their baby. So praise God for the selflessness of our mothers. But you know, it doesn't just stop after preschool years into childhood. It's for the rest of their lives. Mamas sacrifice. And I pray that you who are here, you appreciate the sacrifice that your mothers have made. But that's what excellent people who are excellent in love do. They sacrifice. Third, excellent love is not only tender, it not only sacrifices, it's selfless, but third, excellent love sets boundaries. That's what excellent love does. Look at verse 13:6. The scripture says, love does not rejoice at what, church? Huh? Wrongdoing. Let's say that together. Love does not rejoice in what? Wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. This is one of the most important verses for our day. Because love in 2015 has gotten all messed up. It's got redefined. And here's the way we want to define love in 2015. Love, according to today's contemporary culture, says celebrate and affirm me in whatever makes me happy. If you love me, then you will celebrate me and affirm me in whatever makes me happy. There's only one problem with that as far as from us, from a biblical perspective. That's not biblical love. Amen? That's not biblical love. Listen, children often do things that make them happy, but will kill them. I mean, honestly, my kids love to play in the road. It makes their day. Nathaniel tries to get as close to it as he can. He'll even dip one wheel up with his tricycle on there just to see if I see him. And I'll come running out there, and the other day I had to discipline him for it. And it's exciting to him, mainly because mom and dad said, don't do it, okay? And so they do it anyway. But children do things all the time that make them, quote unquote, happy, but is not good for them. You would never let your child play in the street. You would never let your child pet a wild alligator. You would never let your child jump off the roof of your house. And it's the same way, guys, with parenting. Excellent love sets boundaries. It says this is the right way and this is the wrong way. So love that just celebrates and affirms someone in whatever makes them happy is not excellent love. In fact, let me go a step further. It's not even love. In fact, let me say this. It's actually a form of hate. If you want to show hate to your children, then you just let them do whatever their heart's desires, even if it's wrong. If you want to hate your children, affirm them in unrighteousness. And we have parents doing it all the time here in 2015. You see, it's love with teeth. It ain't the hippie movement, guys. Just peace and love, man. No, it's teeth. It's got some teeth. It's got some bite to it. It says, don't do that. That's what excellent love does. But not only is excellent love, not only does it set boundaries, but fourth, excellent love is constant. Excellent love is constant. Look at 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7 and 8. It says this. It says, love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Y'all say that with me, that last part, those last three words, love never ends. Let's say it together. Love never ends. Listen, my kids love the book, I'll Love You Forever. How many of y'all have that in your library for your kids? Maybe you say, well, I don't know. Here's my favorite line from it. It's the constant refrain in the book. I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby you'll be. And it's a really sweet book. My kids love to read it at bedtime, and it's just a way to affirm to them that you have constant love. You see, that's what excellent love is. It's constant. Is there any time in your life, think about this for just a moment, has there ever been a time in your life when you've done something and you've said, yeah, I could understand if mama never loved me again after this, right? Whatever it was, just big mischief, and you thought, oh my goodness, I'm going to get it this time. Mama's done with me, I know she is, and you were so worried to go tell her. And after mama got done whooping you, probably, what did she do? She hugged you, and she said, baby, I still love you. That's the constancy that we're talking about. Mamas, what could your babies do? Whether they're adults or whether they're babies, what could your children do to say, I never will love you again? Nothing, right? Nothing. You love those babies unconditionally. That means no matter what they've done, no matter their performance, no matter what they've done, you love them. Love, it says here, bears all things. That love believes all things, that hope endures all things, that love hopes all things, and that love endures all things. You see, that's excellent love. Now, that also means, couple that back a moment ago, that love sets boundaries. Okay, excellent love sets boundaries. So you put those two together. Sometimes your constancy in love says, I can't rejoice in what you're doing. I love you, and the way I'm showing love to you is saying, that is not good for you, and I will not affirm you in that. Okay? That's love. That's biblical love. But that's constant love. It doesn't cease just when they go astray. Some of you could stand up here and testify about how the greatest heartbreaks in your life have been because of something your children have done. That is something your children has done. Right? Whether it was maybe it's the person they married, or maybe it was the school they went to, or maybe it was something they did that was wrong, or maybe it was a crime they committed, or whatever it is. Your child has broken your heart. Why is that? Because you love them deeply and you poured your life into them. But guess what? Even when those days come, when your children break your heart, your love doesn't stop, does it? In fact, you long for the day when your heart will be healed and love will be restored in the fullness of its expression. Finally, this morning, excellent love is supreme. And you think about 1 Corinthians, that's really the envelope here, the end pieces of this chapter, is the supremacy of love. Excellent love is supreme. Look at 1 Corinthians 13, 1, 2, and 3. The Bible says this, 1 Corinthians 13, 1, 2, and 3. If I speak in the tongue of men and of angels but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. All throughout there, guys, it doesn't matter how smart you are. It doesn't matter how eloquent you are. It doesn't matter how discerning you are. It doesn't matter how many degrees you have on your wall. It doesn't matter if you have faith that would even remove mountains. Even if you sacrifice and sacrifice and sacrifice, if you don't have love, it's nothing. Love is greater than all those things. It's supreme. It's the utmost. It's the apex. And it continues on here in 1 Corinthians down in verse 8, 13 verse 8. Notice with the supremacy of love, how love will be there even in heaven. You know, in heaven, faith one day, we don't need faith, right? In heaven, one day, prophecy, we don't need prophecy because we're at the end. It's before our eyes. But love, look how long love will endure. Look at it here. It's supreme. Verse 8 of 1 Corinthians 13. As for prophecies, they'll pass away. As for tongues, they'll cease. As for knowledge, it'll pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. And then verse 13 sums it all up. So now faith, hope, and love abide these three. But which one's the greatest, church? Love. Love is supreme. Guys, I pray in your life and in my life that we would see, that people would see that we value love and it's biblical love. Moms, I pray that you all, that your life would exude this kind of love, that it would pour out of you. I know it does naturally, but listen, there are days, well, let's be honest, every day, that you need that supernatural empowerment to love the way that God has called you to love. But let's turn this around for just a moment. And let me encourage you this way. Not only mothers should you love that way, but let me challenge all of you. We need to show excellent love to our mothers. Amen? They need to know that they're honored. Because oftentimes they do a thankless job. You only notice when something doesn't go right. Moms need to know that they're respected. Children, listen to me. If you want to show love to your mom, say yes, ma'am, instead of why next time. Fathers, dads, husbands, if you want to show your wife that you love her, that you respect her, then you be tender to her, especially in front of the kids. Let them know how much you love her. Don't just say, well, I told her when I married her. Live it out. Speak those words to her. As moms are supposed to exhibit excellent love, so they are also to receive excellent love. And today's a day that we've set aside in America for that very thing. So I pray that today that your mom, you mothers, would feel excellent love. But let me say this. Moms, there are going to be days when you struggle to love in this way, isn't there? Can I get an amen? There's some days that your love, well, it's not even okay. Maybe it's even poor that day. You're aiming for excellent love, but it's just not there that day. What do you do? Let me say this to everybody. As we strive for excellent love, we're going to fall short of the glory of God. But here's the truth of the matter. Know that you have a Savior who has already loved you in this way. As you strive to show excellent love, know that Jesus' love is tender. That Jesus' love is selfless. That Jesus' love sets boundaries. That Jesus' love is constant. And that Jesus' love is supreme. When you fall short, you don't get a pity party. You turn to Jesus and say, I trust in what you've done. Help me to show excellent love. I pray that every one of you would know the love of Jesus. And then as you know the love of Jesus, I pray that you will show the excellent love of Jesus, especially for you mothers who have children still in the home. You have a 24 hours, 7 days a week opportunity to show love. And listen, I know sometimes you wish you didn't have such an opportunity. It's just too much. You can't do it, you feel. And I get that because it's hard and exhausting. And sometimes you feel like this picture right here. There is a picture coming. Here it comes. Oh, it is. It's not on my screen. All right. That's why. Moms, y'all ever feel like this? Amen. Feed me, feed me, feed me. Every Mother's Day, the kids and I put together a homemade Mother's Day card for Christy. And this was the picture that we put on it this year. And here are the words that I put on it. I said, it's tough being a mother with lots of hungry babies. Feed me, feed me, feed me. It's a life of loving but often exhausting devotion to meeting so many needs day in and day out. And then on the inside, here's what I continued to say. But soon, from the children, we'll be flying from the nest. And we're not sure how far we'll fly away. However, we know that we'll fly, and that we'll fly high because of you, and how you feed us well in so many ways every day. We love you. Mamas, you have an opportunity. They're not going to be in the nest long. And before long, they're going to be building their own nest. They're going to have their own babies. And yeah, you get to love them in that way. But you have an opportunity right now. And it's exhausting. It's hard. But I pray that in the power of Christ, you would show excellent love. And for those of you who are mothers and your children have already left the nest, continue to support them as they build their own nest and their own family. And show them excellent love. I pray for every single one of us. May this be said of you. May it be said of you that you excelled in love. As Pastor Mark comes, let's pray together.